This is December the 8th, 1996. And we'll be waiting for a few seconds for the commander, during which we might clear our space.
Tuning in's a little hard. Occasionally. We have to have these discussions. You see, nobody comes prepared. And it's always just a little bit overwhelming to have to sit and not even be able to anticipate what our topic's going to be. I do this every time we write also. And when you have someone who tells you otherwise about your speakers, you can anticipate, and I can tell her what I probably will continue to write about if we're working on a topic. But she didn't volunteer for this job to do mine. And I've never asked her to do mine. And I come, Hatan, in light. And lately, it seems like I'm pouring light onto everything that everyone wishes to remain hidden. It also means that I must speak of these things because you have not come here, or you should not have come here, for your religious sermon of the week or the month or the convenience or. We have a mission. Part of the training program is to work through and solve positively, in a positive mode, correctly, within truth, within justice, within the righteousness of everything that we touch. It's hard in this world. And we have to live together on this globe, or in these dimensional spaces, until we get it right. Or we simply fold over into what we will call the adversarial camp, and we become one of them. But that is a very restricted physical shackling, binding experience, because you cannot look forward to moving onward and outward into a finer expression. And we gather here a little bit to share a little bit of friendship, but also it is a time we have to catch up with what it is we are about, because we are not the local church. And sometimes I'm a little bit sorry about that. Because if we could organize like a church, wouldn't it be a lot more simple? Wouldn't it solve a lot more of our problems? We could write down a set of doctrines, and we could present that to the judge when we're called a cult. Dr. Cleaver, from Southern Methodist University, who came to study this circumstance here, he said, well, it's more like a different or new religion based in truth rather than on the doctrines of anybody. But that wasn't going to work. But he wrote it. It's in his expert opinion. He said, and yet you can't call it a church. There's no admission. There's no collection. There's no... My goodness, what are we going... Is it a brotherhood, a fraternity? What is it? Well, let me simplify it for you. It's not a religion. I suppose in its outreaching expression, it could be called a brotherhood of some kind, but it's certainly unlimited. It is something we all search for, and yet it is so that when man finds it, he can't believe it. And with finding truth comes responsibility. And we certainly don't want to assume responsibility especially for our own thoughts and actions. And yet when you come here and we are not having very many meetings because frankly we got tired of the blasting. And yet all of you who come from a distance function in and at a distance. You have a right to participate as we move along. And you consider yourselves members of this team. And how can you stay in the ball game if you don't know what's going on? That's what life is about. And that's what people do, blindly fuddling their way through life, trying to be a part of something, and they have no idea what it is they're a part of. Do you think these local Masons and Elks and so forth know anything beyond their little rituals? And they will discount the ritual simply as a meaningless something, an initiation to get into the club. But if you look at those rituals, and those instructions and those rules and those regulations and the big, deep, dark secrets, you will be shocked to your toes. So we don't have anything. But we have a mission. And for ones who want to participate in the mission, you have to get the lesson somewhere. Because if your direction is different from mine, you see, I know what mine is. So you check within. Do I know what my own mission is? Ask yourself. Am I still seeking? Have I found? Is it a little bit of each? Hopefully both. Is it spiritual truth I want? Is it truth in my life I want? Because if you cannot gain truth in your life, you cannot have it in your spirit. It cannot be. You cannot experience life in a normal attitude toward just being alive and caring for self without it reflecting in your soul. And nobody wants to talk about soul. We're just here, let's just separate church and state. Fine, but don't you dare try to separate spirit from living. Because the you of you is that spiritual intent toward soul perfection. Or you've allowed it to go with your enemy. And I've been hitting this hard lately. Poor Gene feels I have just tweaked both ears and pounded him on the head. I have not. I resent Gene having to bear the responsibility for others of his profession who do not understand. And I realize that when I speak of these things, sometimes I give away information. But I will promise you this, I will never give away information. I do not want my enemy, my worst enemy, to have. And because the experience is laid before you, in your classroom, in your training arena, how can one case go on for 9 years? Because it's important that everybody participating in that understand every last detail of it. And truth must win. It is not acceptable for God's truth to lose. The house be damned, the things be damned. It is not all right for the cheating criminal liars to win. And I get constantly, but it would be so much easier, sir, just not to struggle in this anymore. No, it's unacceptable to stop. That is what is unacceptable. Keep your goals in mind, and then you'll begin to realize the things that need to be added unto us to achieve that goal. And as a multiple energy unit, you will each have a different goal at different stages. But our goal overall must eventually come into coalescence so that we know what we're doing. And it takes a while. It isn't showered down on your heads like a soft rainfall. If it were, I can provide that. But it's more like the turkey. He will stick his head up into the rain and drown himself to death. You have to be an individual responsible for you. I think maybe, I believe that I would rather have you read yesterday's writing, PJ. I want it on the record. I'm going to share some things, and I hope that Gene won't feel I am talking out of school, because I am going to share them. I have to take control of some of this. This is information I want my enemies to get. They know not what they do, and that will become clear to you. I know in advance what they're going to do. Hopefully that will eventually be clear to some of you so that you act timely. When I say do something, it's because I know you must do it now. And when I say you do it ASAP yesterday, it means don't wait till tonight. You lose your edge. And we lost our edge. In the case they call serendipity. I have to tell you, you are my team. And I don't keep secrets. I reveal things. That is my mission. I'm a revelator. I reveal the hidden secrets. That is my job. So that you can evaluate from balanced fact. And then I have to balance that against spirit and spiritual truth. Because we are no better than our worst enemy. if we fall into the trap of becoming that which the enemy puts forth. And it's not easy to live in truth, but I'll tell you something. It's sure a lot safer. Maybe some people don't mind being a total fool. I personally feel that that is a discredit to my Creator, that I should allow His reflection in me to be considered a pompous fool. It doesn't mean you can't have fun along the way. Why don't you read yesterday so we can start there? I want you to have some compassion for one such as Betty Tuden. It seems like, you know, we come down hard. I always will come down hard. I'm not going to bend the rules. I'm not going to make excuses. But what George Green and David Horton have done to her is unthinkable to me. As a being, it is unthinkable to me. They have lied to her. They have taken from her. And she has tried to remain loyal to them. And David Horton has deliberately, knowing the truth, kept it from her. And it's atrocity in its worst form, as far as I'm concerned. So we may as well just get on into it, and then maybe we can have some pleasant time.
This is from the writing Saturday, December 7th, 1996. Heading, Shadows and Light. Each day brings with it some amount of joy, a bit of sadness, some sorrow, surprise, abundance, loss. And yet, if we know it not, the shadows swallow truth like dragons in dark dungeons, to use later for which to make you the fool. How best to dispel those shadowy figures lurking there outside your knowing illumination? You turn the light on, of course. Then you look at what lurks there and bring wisdom into your actions. How many will you forgive me's will you have to struggle through because you have allowed yourself to be twisted, turned, and made the fool while you pay for it? When you are allowing self to be sucked into unlawful activities while still being a blind and ignorant fool, what have you actually allowed? You have allowed self to be subject to incarceration, high fines, large fees, payments for damages, and other cute things the lawyers do not tell you. Yes, I can give you example following on to example. And will it help, hurt, make a difference, or simply bore you or infuriate you if you happen to be the example? I have often said in my speaking and in my writings that certain ones are going to find they are the fools, not we. It is now happening, and I feel compassion for the ones who will bear the brunt of these disgusting games of attorneys in an endless sea of judicial riptide seas. I can't have right to give examples without having first-hand knowledge, with names of participants, or just continue always with parables and speculation. We have to, for truth in presentation, use what we know. Anything else is gossip and should be tossed out of any case in any court, except when proven by preponderance of evidence to circumstances as shown. We are constantly accused of lying in the paper, in my writings, with and through Eckers, and on and on and on. The opposition, hapless and ignorant victims of their own attorneys and sly thieving liars and cheats, even get involved with discounting and asking for sanctions against and disbarring of opposing attorneys trying to do a decent, honest, and honorable job. This time, the game is not a simple you-against-me type of case. Corporation books were taken, misused, and laws have, and are continuing to be broken, and there is no way to not confront the circumstances through the law. Whatever the intent of one Betty T. might have been, she took the books for which others were fully responsible. The liability of missing books then fell to the agent in Nevada and the officers and directors of said corporations. I ask that Ecker's affidavit be printed and read into the record to allow us to not have to reprint the entire document herein for my brief comments.
But you see, here we go again. I ask that it be ready for today. It becomes a physical impossibility to meet every responsibility that the Eckers have to meet.
All that was asked of Betty T. to completely settle the matter against her was to try to get the books returned and stop allowing Green to use her to trash us. She didn't have to do anything save those two things. She refused. Her lawyer at the time refused to further represent her. He had the sense to check the records of the state, said she had no case or leg to stand on, and that he would not represent her. So she says she had to hire Horton, George Green's attorney, at, I believe, some $225 an hour for services. Now, people, immediately upon learning of the theft of the books, the matter was cleared with the state, books reissued, confirmed, restored as to participants, and entered into the records of the Secretary of State of Nevada. These are public records, for goodness sakes. All that was asked, therefore, was for the old records to be returned to the agent, for the intention had been, by Green Brigade, to issue bearer stock or assign the unissued stock to themselves and put the Institute into immediate receivership. Betty T. says that is not so, but then she also said she personally went to the office of the Secretary of State at the time of the complaints and was told otherwise about the status of the corporations in point. Following on, she wrote letters in behalf of the mischief makers, caused Sherry to write erroneous letters, and generally set herself up to lose every cent George Green could extract from her blood flow. So be it, no amount of information we offered did anything except bring a flow of accusations and threats. It now becomes apparent these hapless victims of the greedy mongers are never informed by their own attorneys of anything ongoing in their own cases. Betty called Ecker yesterday, and when he asked why wasn't she in court in November when the trial hearing was set and everyone from here was there, she said she didn't know there was anything. Ecker said, "But Betty, don't you know that you lost in that particular hearing? Wrong motions were filed by Horton and you were soundly thrashed?" "No," she said, "Mr. Horton has not spoken to me about anything." The facts are, readers, that Horton has turned around and just day before yesterday filed another set of documents for Green and Tootin. Another petition from Horton and Abbott has gone to the Supreme Court of Nevada about this stupid circumstance for which the clients pay while the attorneys rake in $225 an hour. Or do they? Do you really think George Green is paying these misfits? They want that gold that still is hostage in Gamble's court. My goodness, people, what proof of mistreatment do you need? These attorneys even joined with California attorneys, and they have now brought gigantic conspiracy evidence against themselves and their unwitting clients, i.e. Betty Tootin, Leon Fort, Ann Beam, as infinite balance, Sherry Yaunt, who just wanted to be left alone, and others remaining unnamed herein. And what have they actually done to incriminate themselves? Probably, very carefully, not much. They probably got powers of attorney, so they never even have to report to their clients. Certainly they don't even have to tell them when there are court hearings, trials, etc. They don't even have to report the outcome. Just like the ever-ready rabbit, they just keep going and going and going. Why, Mr. Abbott personally asked L.A. to go into the hall with him, and he would give him a sound beating. Then he has attacked every attorney who has crossed his path,
until he found one more unethical and unscrupulous than himself, Horn, to join him in their conspiratorial attack and slaughter. Can attorneys work and not know law, even their own state laws, as regards, especially in Nevada, corporation law? Apparently, is it that they just slipped up and thought, how? The facts have been in at least a dozen or so filings from our own attorneys, not to mention that all it takes to get information on corporations is to pick up the phone and call or get an agent to do so. Does this kind of crime pay? Usually, because no one can stand to see a case through to a winning conclusion on the side of right. Remember those attorney fees? Well, if you are the attorney, you don't have those fees, do you? And you find a sucker who pays and pays and pays without even being allowed to ask you a question. Is truth costly? Oh, indeed, into the hundreds of thousands of dollars even, yea, unto and into the millions of dollars, and the courts have it even better controlled. If you have a corporation involved, the law requires a licensed attorney to represent the corporation. It is get you from every direction. And as with us, you have to have the attorney to be able to have court representation. No choice. But the opposition continually bashes you for using funds to defend against claims and their causes of action. And readers, if you don't fix this one wrong thing, you cannot fix any others, because attorneys in the Bar Association, a private club, run the political administration of all your legislatures and houses of representation, unconstitutionally. Abbott and Horton and Green spew forth in the Associated Press how we have used and abused little old ladies, etc., while they do this to the same little old ladies they tout mistreatment. What have you come to, America? Well, they can do whatever they wish to do about it. I am not longer going to protect the guilty who serve the guilty. If they go to these lengths to break the laws and serve these insipid thieves and liars, so be it. Perhaps they wish to lose everything, for they certainly have in no way hesitated to cause everyone else who participates to lose everything. Betty T. doesn't even realize that she is a prime named participant in the receivership case, of which she is shocked and says, I certainly am not. Oh, better check those filings, dear one. She just hangs right in there accusing us of lying about everyone and everything and needing her money, which is totally tied up by her attorneys. They have already used up all the funds Leon Fort argues about. But then Leon said to all of us that he doesn't know what his attorneys are doing, and when he gets papers, he can't understand them anyway. Anne claims she does so. Is she deliberately destroying him further? Or does she not really know either what is taking place? Or is she, as she said, George Green's emissary? Her words, not mine. Friend, emissary. Agent, ambassador, instrument, medium. Friend, this one really fits better than you know. Consul, envoy, diplomat, deputy, and we could go on and on. The source was the Thesaurus Dictionary. Is it not about time for these unfortunate and misled people to turn some light into those dark holes and pits? Betty is in worse trouble, for she obviously did not know that she is not supposed to talk to anybody here except through an attorney. By golly, I bet she gets a tongue lashing from Horton about that one. Oh, and by the way, lawyers and readers, she says she has spoken to Stephen Horn and met with him, and we even remember she and Fort coming to court and sitting with him in our local Ecker case. What a tangled web we weave, readers, when we practice and practice and practice and deceive. Well, we have deceived no one. Truth has been the evidence our attorneys have had from onset of all cases in point. And when Green and Megan tell you there are hundreds of cases against the Eckers, that is an outright lie. There are actually none. Even counterclaims are not cases against Eckers. So how does this continue to be allowed in the courts yet? These opposing liars are continually allowed to continue to name the Eckers as in Ecker, Ecker, Phoenix, etc. No, this is not so, but I would suggest that it be used appropriately later by the Institute and Eckers. There are going to be a lot of mud-in-face, red-mugged players when this all shakes out, if justice can ever be required of the players who have allowed this atrocity and miscarriage of not only justice, but citizens' rights. I suppose these clowns thought that if George Bush could corrupt and steal corporations, then surely, too, could they. Well, it didn't work for Bush, and it certainly will not work for these misfit puppet Pinocchios. It is not a Phoenix Institute. The or Eckers, who have costs such as Tootin and Fort, their notes, etc. It is their own attorneys and colleagues. The very plan that you now complain about, which was set up by George Green, now calling it a Ponzi scheme, was Green's baby, and all the denying of his participation is simply one more of his lies to further use the hapless victims of his charade. Why don't you concerned, frightened, and confused people go to the source of your injustice? Why do you not go directly to Mr. Green and his legal lying lawyers and demand your dues? He unlawfully built up and destroyed his own creation. Eckers just got worse had than anybody else and have had the responsibility assumed to continue in spite of everything possible being thrown against him. The plan was a good one and certainly was not as Green had planned it to work out. Green never, in his wildest nightmares, ever expected to be held responsible for his own thefts, crimes, or lies. He thought all he had to do was just kill off his opponents, set them up, and knock them off. Well, he didn't plan well because he lied about me. He still can't get his story straight because whatever he now says, everything else he has said is a lie because he can't seem to tell even the same lie twice in a row. And neither can his attorneys, even to the judge in a courtroom, under oath. This same bunch of liars and cheats have tried every way they can conjure to silence us in contact. Why? To continue to fool all you nice people all the time with which they can get away. No, I said early on that the cases would have to be fought in the public eye, and this is just the beginning of that opening eye. And no, I will not back off, and I expect that our own legal team can get on with their mop-up job. I can tell you, but I prefer not doing the task for you. I can offer the information and the proof to back it up, but you will have to use it, gentlemen. This type of injustice is not just in courtrooms. It is rampant throughout the system of government, wherever you find barristers and politicians. It is unfortunate, for there once were some most honorable practitioners, and I would hope that there still might be a few, here and there, who prefer truth to lies in presenting their clients' best interests before an honorable Your Honor. As to politicians, when has even one kept a promise? What about Social Security, medical care, welfare? What about... Here's a good example. Commander, would you like me to go on?
No, let's not bother. Everybody will get a copy of it.
Good, thank you.
You should see with your own eyes now that you know how to look at things. And if you are a regular reader of everything that we present, just that information will give you the answer to everything that you ever wanted to know about anything. Right up to today. And if you studied or went back for reference into the journals, you'll find your answers over and over and over again. You look at the political situation, you think, oh, what in the world is coming down here? That's what's coming down, the world. In the order and in the control of God's adversary, whatever you want to call that adversary, Satan, evil, devil, whatever you can conjure as the opposite of God Creator, who only has perfection and truth. You see, I don't need to make some big hype out of it. These are the facts. It is like saying, Judeo, who believes not in Jesus Christ, being a Christian over here, who believes in Jesus Christ. And I'm not arguing names. If one does not believe under any circumstances and the other believes under all circumstances, you have two opposites. So there is no way you can combine these two. You can get along as long as you leave out the only important point you've got in either issue. And so who gives in? Goodness always gives in. Because in the physical plane, somebody will come with force against you. And if you have turned over your governments to these legislators who now are almost always lawyers, no offense meant to any honest, upright lawyer. You cannot even have enough money to buy your way anymore. They've all been bought, you see. And they've made sure that goodness cannot raise its head high enough for long enough to stay alive before it's trampled down. You're experiencing the miracle that this is still ongoing. That is a miracle. Gene should realize that he has created, through his input, the miracle of allowing this to keep going. Eckers are not lawyers. Rick can do a very good job of writing. So can Ray. But who can look at a filing from a George Abbott and now immediately go to the crux of what the man is trying to cover? And by doing this over and over and over again, and they never stop supplying us with our lesson for the day. And so now you get something and you have a literal anticipation of, God, I wonder what's wrong with this one. And sure enough. And Gene and Karen will pour over these things and pull out examples. Every one of you should just take Rick's case. I could say to all of you, you just should read those letters George sent around. Oh, I have. I have it all up here in my mind. I know all about it. No, you don't. You will be astounded, even Gene, what he's missed. It's all there. The lies are all there. Now, the point is, how do you get truth into the courtroom when you have a system that 9 years go by and the Eckers are never even allowed to get up to the bench on the other side of the barrister? The barricade. And then comes along Mr. Horn, he says, well, you can't have 3 bites out of the apple or 2 bites. I mean, they've already had. They've never had anything. Except bills. And terror. And whatever else they can dish out. And Gene finally did a brilliant piece of work and said, it is not the Eckers who have had more than 1 bite out of the apple. They've never even touched the apple, while Mr. Horn has had 3. big hunks out of the apple. Well, he's going to choke on one of them. Because he's dragged this out long enough now to pull back in the big boys. He has dragged this out so long that the one who went out of business is now back in business. And I think it's great. But I think that Rick ought to really just... Rick, I think you ought to bind it and sell it. I think you ought to read the transcript of Bogart's program. And then I would ask, why didn't somebody follow through with charges against Bo Greitz and George Green then? But you see, there are so many outstanding things. What about Methvin, who at the urgings of Mr. Green and so forth stripped Ecker's bank account last Christmas and still on the first of each month sends them an updated bill with compound interest? Why don't you do something? Well, there's also Rod Entz, who took all the equipment and money. There's a limitation to how much we can do and how long we can continue to do this and survive. It's more than a full-time job for a dozen people. And so you do what you can, as you can, and we just keep moving forward. But it's unacceptable to allow it to happen. These things are not right. They are not right. And I know it must have just blown Horn's mind to sit across from EJ. And he wants to know, well, what are you doing there and going on through this? And EJ said, because it's wrong. It is wrong. George Green's attorney asked Rick, well, what do you want out of this? And Rick said, I want justice. I want truth. This is wrong. And until you can rectify things simply because they are wrong, you can't make it. Because you will settle for less. You will settle for the lie. You will settle for the wars. You will settle for these cheap, nasty, rotten, mean individuals. It is unfolding in front of you, and I can't even see why you are not quivering. Shaking. You are so close to total destruction of a world system. There is one person second in line, and maybe Rick would like to share that with us, to Mr. Bush, and that is Madeleine Albright, your ambassador to the United Nations, now going to be your Secretary of State. It is disgusting. This woman comes right out of the same cult as George Bush and is just as evil. Ask Kathy and Mark to elaborate on this woman who insults the female of the species. You're being set up for the bump off, people. I wrote a little earlier about some of the things planned. You see, you don't know how many times you almost got it. You can talk about little bits of plutonium on a Russian missile going to Mars. Oh, no. Those warheads were made of red mercury. And they were trying to get that rocket into an orbit.